A reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brothers and sisters, you are dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you once followed the age of this world, following the ruler of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the disobedient. All of us once lived among them in the desires of our flesh, following the wishes of the flesh and the impulses. And we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest. But God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love he had for us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, brought us to life with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavens in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God. It is not from works, so no one may boast. For we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works, that God has prepared in advance, that we should live in them. The word of the Lord. The Lord made us, we belong to him.
The Lord made us, we belong to him.
Sing joyfully to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful song.
The Lord made us, we belong to him.
Know that the Lord is God. He made us. His we are, his people, the flock he tends. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise.
The Lord made us, we belong to him.
Give thanks to him, bless his name, for he is good. The Lord, whose kindness endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations.
The Lord made us, we belong to
Dominus vobiscum.
Et cum spiritu tuo.
Lectio Sancti Evangelii secundum Lucam.
Gloria tibi, Domine.
Someone in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to share the inheritance with me." He replied to him, "Friend, who appointed me as your judge and arbitrator?" Then he said to the crowd, "Take care to guard against all greed. For though one may be rich, one's life does not consist of possessions." Then he told them a parable. There was a rich man whose land produced a bountiful harvest. He asked himself, "What shall I do, for I do not have space to store my harvest?" Then he said, "This is what I shall do. I shall tear down my barns and build larger ones. There I shall store all my grain and other goods, and I shall say to myself, 'Now as for you, you have so many good things stored up for many years. Rest, eat, drink, be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?' Thus will it be for the one who stores up treasure for himself, but is not rich in what matters to God.
Verbum Domini.
St. Paul says in our first reading today from Ephesians, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from you. It is the gift of God, and it is not from works, so no one may boast." All of us are affected by original sin through the sin of Adam. This is what St. Paul is getting at when he describes us in today's reading as being children of wrath by nature. We're not able to liberate ourselves from sin. In the fullness of time, God the Father sent his Son as an expiation for our sins, which was accomplished through his sacrifice on the cross. And even though Christ died for all, not everyone benefits from this. Some don't accept that grace offered to them, and they don't receive the free gift of baptism or even desire it. It's important to know, though, that a real change, a real transformation takes place in the sacrament of baptism. As the Council of Trent made it clear, it is a transition from the state in which man is born a son of the first Adam to the state of grace and adoption as sons of God through the second Adam, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Again, it's a real transformation. We're getting right with God. We're being justified when we're baptized. And the beginning of this justification must be attributed to God's grace. It's through no merit on our part that we receive this. At the same time, we also must freely cooperate with that grace, so we're not inactive. But without God's grace, we cannot move toward him by our own free will alone. The Council of Trent would further clarify that this state of justification, or being made right with God, that begins with baptism, that it's not only the remission of sins, but the sanctification and renewal of the interior man through the voluntary reception of grace and of the gifts, whereby from unjust, man becomes just, and from enemy, a friend, that he may be an heir in hope of eternal life. And it's this process of justification that God's love is poured into our hearts, as St. Paul says, right, through the Holy Spirit. And our souls are infused with those virtues of faith, hope, and charity. So all of this is a free gift from God, and that's what St. Paul is very clearly emphasizing in our reading. It's a free gift from God. It's important for us to know as well that while that initial grace of justification is a great gift, it can be lost. As one priest noted, a good analogy for this on a natural level is that we do not earn an inheritance, right? An inheritance is freely given. We do nothing to merit that. But an inheritance can be lost, right, by our own actions. So similarly with the gift of justification, we do nothing to merit it. It's a complete gift from God, but we have to cooperate with his grace to stay in that state of grace, to stay in that right relationship with him. St. Paul would say clearly in Galatians chapter 5 that we can be cut off from grace. We can lose the kingdom of God. We can lose the kingdom of heaven by the works and sins of the flesh. So to sum this up, that initial gift of justification that we received in baptism is a pure gift from God, completely unmerited on our part. But as St. Paul also says in today's reading, we are his handiwork, created in Christ Jesus for good works. He created us to carry out good works that God has prepared in advance that we should live in them. So works do have a very important role in the process of our salvation, in the process of our getting to heaven. We must cooperate with God's grace to carry them out. As one theologian and commentator put it pretty concisely, we are saved by grace, through faith, for works. Right? That we want to always seek to cooperate with his will, to work for his honor and glory. And in the gospel today, our Lord gives us the parable of the rich fool, warning us about the danger of greed and covetousness. If we go after material things seeking complete fulfillment, we'll just end up disappointed because we weren't created to be fulfilled by things, but to be fulfilled by God. And the rich man in the parable thinks he can be happy by accumulating as many material goods as he can to live for himself alone. He sought to grow rich for himself rather than living a life pleasing to God. And what was the outcome? God said, "You fool, this night your life will be demanded of you. And the things you have prepared, to whom will they belong?" The man wasn't being condemned for being rich, but rather he was self-absorbed. He was living only for himself. He was only looking out for his own security and happiness and wealth and possessions. He wasn't thinking of helping others in need. And the truth is that our possessions don't give us happiness in life. God does. And the rich man in the parable wasn't eternity-minded. That's what we're called to be, eternity-minded, right? To keep our eyes fixed on God, on heaven. That life isn't only about this earth. The rich man hoarded his overabundance of resources, and he made them the basis of his trust and security. And he forgot that life is short. St. Athanasius, who wrote a biography of St. Anthony of the Desert, he wrote that a person who lives as if he were to die every day, given that our life is uncertain by definition, will not sin. For good fear extinguishes most of the disorder of our appetites. Whereas he who thinks he has a long life ahead of him will easily let himself be dominated by pleasures. Right? A good fear, a holy fear. That we know our life is a gift. The time that God's given us is a gift. If we try to live each day as if it were our last, that's a good way to remain in virtue, right? Seeking holiness. But again, that's a common temptation to think I have a lot of time left, and we don't know. Similarly, there's a very helpful line in the book of Sirach, chapter 7, verse 36, which says, "In all you do, remember the end of your life, and then you will never sin." And Pope St. Leo the Great would likewise say, in light of today's gospel, that this should be the careful consideration of wise people, that since the days of this life are short and the time uncertain, death should never be unexpected for those who are to die. Those who know that they are mortal should not come to an unexpected end, right? We want to always be ready to be vigilant. And the last line in the gospel today says that thus will it be for all who store up treasure for themselves but are not rich in matters to God. So what does it mean to be rich in matters to God? It's not being rich in the sense of possessing many things, but in possessing God, living in a state of grace, doing all that we can to nourish the life of faith and prayer and regularize the sacraments. We don't seek to possess things, but to possess love, especially the love of God and neighbor. St. Paul would call the love of money the root of all evil. Avarice, greed, and the love of money turn external things into ends in themselves, into false idols. And we know that every created thing is good insofar as it's created by God, but in our weakened and wounded nature, we can begin to worship and serve the creature rather than the Creator. A good number of times our Lord warned about, and this is throughout the Gospels, he warned about the dangers of loving riches, and he stressed the importance of detachment. St. James said that the root of war is avarice as well, and that's what our Lord's warning about today. St. James would write, "What causes wars and what causes fightings among you? Is it not your passions that are at war in your members? You desire and do not have, so you kill. You covet and cannot obtain, so you fight and wage war." And so avarice is this inordinate desire within us to possess what we don't have. And also can be seen in how we may excessively be attached to the possessions that we do have, right? We don't want anyone else to touch what we have. And so avarice is not in reference to the necessities of life that we have, but rather this desire to acquire more and more possessions. And we can oppose this tendency by striving to be content and by being generous toward others. Remember, St. Paul would say, "I have learned in whatever state I am to be content." That's something to strive for. Bishop Sheen would share four ways to be discontent or unhappy. And this is one of them that we hear about today. The first way is egotism or selfishness. It's when we make ourselves the center of the universe. We expect everything else to revolve around us. That's an easy way to become very discontent. The second is envy. So if we allow this sadness in our heart at the good of another, at seeing the good of another, we begin to see and we can even think that they're stealing from what is rightfully ours. The third way is covetousness. It's inordinate desire, again, to have more possessions in order to try to fill that emptiness in our hearts. And that's specifically what our Lord warns about in today's gospel. And the fourth is jealousy. It's seeing the good in the others and wanting it for ourselves. And that can lead to hatred if we don't keep it in check. I remember hearing a while ago, and I think I've shared this before, a great distinction that I've heard between envy and jealousy is that envy is always wrong. It's sadness at the good that we see in another. It can never be justified and can lead to hatred and even murder, as we see in Scripture. Jealousy is neutral in itself. It can either lead to virtue or to vice. Right? Jealousy is seeing the good in another and wanting it for ourselves. Because in the book of Exodus, we hear that our God is a jealous God. Right? He sees the good in us, and he wants us for himself, and that's a good thing. Or if we see the good in another, if we see someone who's truly virtuous, and we want that, that's a good thing. That can inspire us to grow in virtue, to pray, to grow in the virtues. But it can also, again, if it's not in check, it can lead to vice and to sin, you know, if it's disordered. So we want to avoid these means of unhappiness. So it's the unreasonable desiring of the good that we see in others that leads to misery. So if the Lord is the main focus of our lives, we will be happy and content with either many or few goods, because we won't see them, we won't see things as our ultimate end, but as means to achieving our end, eternal life and happiness with God. So we know that only God can satisfy us completely. So we pray today that we may be rich in what matters to God, as our Lord said today, and that we may put our lives, that our lives may be filled with charity toward others, and we may have a healthy detachment regarding material goods, placing our trust in God rather than in things.